ABC Radio Australia.
For the past decade, Fiji's media have operated under tight restrictions and scrutiny, with strict rules governing how stories can be reported. But a change in government has also been reflected by a change in attitude toward the media. As the ABC's Lide Mavono in Suva reports, there's hope for brighter days ahead for the media industry, both in Fiji and across the region.
There are specific incidents Netani Rika remembers vividly, such as when unknown men smashed his car with golf clubs, or the night Molotov cocktails landed in his living room, and the day he was locked in a cell at the military camp. The award-winning veteran journalist was managing news and current affairs at Fiji Television in December of 2006 when military commander Frank Bainimarama staged a coup.
We were monitoring the situation from the Fiji TV newsroom. Well, once the takeover happened, there was a knock at the door, and we had some soldiers present themselves. We were told that they were there for our protection. They said, no, we are here to be in the newsroom, and we want to see what goes to air. And we also have a list here of people who you cannot speak to. So we said that we would not be able to comply with their requirements. And as such, we posted what is called in television a still, a notice which said Fiji TV news will not be broadcast tonight due to military censorship. And we will only return once you are able to broadcast the news in a manner which is free and fair.
Although he reported the incidents of violence to the Fiji police force, it too was led by military officers. And he says detectives were always frank with him that his complaint would not go far. The journalist's house was smashed, and twice the unknown men, one of whom he would later identify as being a member of the military, tried to burn his home, once with him in it.
While at the Fiji Times, that's when they actually physically smashed my vehicle. There was a series of letters to the editor, which I suppose you could say were anti-government. Shortly after lunch, the Honourable Leader of the Opposition now called. He saw it me in the Fijian, in the Hoke language. So a little after that, say about 40 minutes later, was the first time I saw a vehicle come into our street. The next time they came, they actually came over the fence, broke wooden louver, and threw one petrol bomb inside the house. I got up, I slipped on a wet surface. It wasn't until I came back later that I could smell fuel. The components of a Molotov cocktail.
While the threats remain, each time in response to stories perceived to be anti-government, there was pressure applied down the line towards reporters and up the leadership chain to threaten the employment rights of the then expatriate publishers of News Limited owned the Fiji Times. Eventually, Netani Rika and his deputy Sophie Foster, who is now an Australian national, would lose their jobs when the Bainimarama government passed the Media Act forbidding foreign ownership of Fijian media organizations.
I don't think there's any media organization in this country which would take me on. The government pressured the Fiji Times, took away its advertising, did all sorts of things in order to bring it into line with its propaganda. Fiji, everything in Fiji is okay. There's no more corruption, etc., etc. But they couldn't do it. And so they changed, the media laws were changed so that you could not have more than 5% overseas ownership. Fiji Times was fully owned by News Limited at the time. News Limited was removed. Company was sold to Motibai Group. Motibai Group was told, if you get rid of this guy and a few other people, we will give you back the advertising that we had taken from you.
Samantha Magic was news director in FM 96, but left after the 2000 coup and returned 3 years ago to head Islands Business International, a regional news magazine. She hopes a freer media will mean the return of specialized journalism, which she says has been absent from the Fijian media landscape.
I think the other thing that I noticed when I came back was that there wasn't the same sort of robustness of discussion and debate. And, you know, we had some really powerful panel programs, for example, and Talk Back and all of that sort of thing. I felt like there wasn't a lot of that happening. And I think part of that was a reflection of the legislation and its impact on the way people worked. But also, you know, as you know, as a practicing journalist, it was often very difficult to get both sides or three sides or four or five sides of a story because of the way newsmakers try to control their messaging and engage with the media. Which I thought was really unfortunate.
Magic believes that while younger journalists have been smart and unafraid, the difficult working environment which has resulted from the Media Act 2011 has not been conducive to the kind of robust debates necessary for vibrant media. She's excited that change is underway and that less restrictive media laws may encourage journalists to push the boundaries and that mid-career reporters will be more creative and more courageous.
And I also hope that it will mean that more people will stay in the profession because, you know, we have this enormous problem with people coming and doing a couple of years and then going for a whole variety of reasons, mainly financial.
Retired journalism professor Dr. David Roby has taught many Pacific journalists, with the heads of at least half of Fiji's newsrooms having been his students. In recent years, he has monitored media development and curated research into the impact the Media Act 2011 has had on journalists.
It's controversial, basically, because it's very punitive and it's draconian. Every media freedom organization globally has condemned it right from the beginning. But what we've seen is a decline in media freedom in the whole of the Pacific. And I put that down largely to, how difficult it's been for Fiji.
Dr. Roby believes the only way forward is the removal of the Media Act 2011 altogether.
I'm a bit sceptical about this notion that, we can replace it with some kind of friendly legislation. That sounds like a slippery slope to me. It is a very complex area, but I would have to say that self-regulation is pretty well the best way to go.
Fiji's new Attorney General, Siromi Turanga, will directly work on the changes to the Media Act once the minister responsible for information moves to suggest changes to the restrictive legislation. He wants to reassure Fiji's journalists the government will be truly democratic, but also makes it clear it is early days in the quest to ensure that journalists can work without fear of being charged with a crime.
I'm saddened when I hear about these incidents. It should never happen. It's a sad state of affairs that should never happen. It has happened. We must learn from it and move forward. I'm going to reassure you that the coalition government is going to provide a different approach, a true democratic way of dealing with your freedom. We're not going to touch, nor we're going to direct the military or the police.
Turanga confirmed the Fijian Media Association has asked for changes to the Media Act, specifically for the removal of the offences from the legislation, which are attached to heavy penalties.
A true democracy is where its citizens can, without fear and favour, say whatever they want, as long as it does not violate those aspects where about national security and other matters. It's important that we can partake in that platform.